Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. Another chance to hear from the Lord as he speaks from the heart by the anointing. I thank God for it. I believe in the anointing and I cherish the anointing that comes to me from others as I do when the Lord speaks to me directly. And even if he's used, I just cherish the anointing of God. I know that the Holy Spirit is the source. And every word he speaks is governed. And it's at least one of the seven manifestations of the Spirit of God. And I just love hearing from the Lord. I've done a lot of things that's fun to do. But when the Lord speaks to me and explains things to me or show me a vision or helps me understand things, it's amazing. And I love to ask him about creation. And I'm the kind I ask him about anything that I'm interested in. And I write it in my heart. You know, I think about it sometimes. At my own will, I meditate on the things he already told me. And I think of new questions and ask him. And sometimes he'll just show me things that I need to know. But I thank God for every word, every confirmation that comes to that comes through his people. And the beautiful thing is this. Any Christian can be used by the Holy Spirit if they just yield to him, if they are walking love and walking his way. The Lord has something to work with at that point. And you don't have to be a famous preacher or a well-known person before I listen. I'm not like that. I believe that, the blood of Jesus is holy and it washed his people. And the Lord can cause people to say things beyond their ability, beyond their intelligence, beyond their education level. You know, I said in the last broadcast that the anointing doesn't change your education level or whatever. You still have to learn to do things even though you're anointed. But I've seen people treat anointed people as if they have a greater level of education or they have abilities that others don't. The main ability they have is what they are anointed to do. You know, if you went and got Samson and said, we need you to do this evangelistic outreach, you know. Now, he was anointed to judge. I won't say that he couldn't do it, but he was anointed to kill. You know, leading people to Christ, that's not what he was anointed to do. And even Saul, King Saul and King David, they were anointed to be kings. And God, we use their writings in ministry. So, but they are anointed to do what they are anointed to do. David was a prophet, so was King Saul. But in the realm of your anointing, that's where you can do things. I gave the analogy like a man sitting in heavy equipment. He can do more than a man with a shovel. A man with a track loader can load a whole lot more dirt faster and better than a man with a shovel. Because that heavy equipment represents the anointing. You know, when the Lord first called me to the ministry, I love to fix things. I am a mechanic by trade. And Jesus came, I was looking at some heavy equipment, and then Jesus came walking by. And I was looking at him and the heavy equipment. But I really didn't know what it meant to this moment. You know, the anointing is like heavy equipment. And a year before he actually called me to the ministry, he said, "You're anointed." I didn't know I didn't know what it meant like I do now. But looking back on it, my references for heavy equipment, I do remember a dream where I was looking at some heavy equipment out in the field where it's supposed to be used. And then Jesus was walking by and I woke up. I didn't realize. I said, well, maybe God is telling me, maybe I need to love my ministry just like I love my mechanic. I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't speculate. I just thought about it, you know, but I do. And it all turns out that my ministry was my business was very important to my ministry. And one time I thought that maybe I should just leave the business alone and just do the ministry. And it wouldn't work. And the Lord kept talking about my business and what I needed to do. And I said, well, Lord, I could do more ministry stuff if I didn't have to do all this work in business. And then I said, well, I was thinking about getting rid of my business and getting a job and, you know, trying to do something more in ministry. And I was supposed to preach that week. And the Lord didn't give me a message until I surrendered to his will and kept my business. See, some of the things that I'm saying, or the things that God has given me to minister now, how if we traditionalize our ministry, we lose too much ground. But to operate where the anointing will work, we have to do it the way God give it to us. Your life it should be unique. Every anointing is unique, but it's just like a body. The left hand doesn't grab like the right hand. They both grab, but they grab different from different angles. Well, every anointing has its different function. And your work situation, see, God doesn't waste things. Your work situation is going to cause you to cross the paths of people in the same field. And the Lord can use your anointing out there wherever you are. In the business world, in the work world, you know, you may be in a position where you see thousands of people every day, like a teller at the bank. Now, at some banks, the tellers can be a blessing to people. Now, watch what I'm saying. They have the anointing, and they begin to get to know people, and they have short conversations. And the Lord can give people short conversations to bless his people. See, the anointing, if you limit it and if you traditionalize, you'll miss out on that. Yeah, but preacher, they say you're not to preach on the workplace. Look, a conversation can be godly. It's not like she's standing up giving a sermon and stopping the line. But with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the right phrase can make a difference. And there are times when people can have a moment to talk and the right phrase at the right moment, guided by the Holy Spirit, can make a world of difference. See, you have to think, God thinks way outside the box, but the enemy thinks supreme. Satan thinks supreme for himself. And when he groomed ministries to think supreme, according to the example I gave in the last website broadcast, when he get people on that track, their focus is not on the heart of God, but on how they appear. And their focus is more on the label than the work of the ministry. The focus is more on how people view them than serving God. And their motive it starts as a seed and it gets worse. When people fall into that trap of pride, they get worse. It starts off small and it's just like a seed. It grows. And as they grow in success, they actually think God is condoning their pride. And they won't come to minister to a church unless they promise a certain amount of money. It starts getting out of hand. It didn't start that way. When they first started, they probably would have washed your feet. And sometimes when they started, they wasn't even like that. But my interest is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if there's a church out there and the Lord wants me to minister to it and they can't afford to fly me out there, if I can have the money, I'm going to that church. If the Holy Spirit wants me there, I want to be there. And I made a decision when I first started that I'm not going to charge to preach. If they give me an offering, fine. If they don't, fine. But as long as I do what God wants me to do. And to this day, if somebody wanted me to minister, I have never turned them down because of money. And I don't ever plan to. If that was a schedule conflict, I may not have made it. But if I could be there, and if it was long as it was of God, and what God wanted me to be there, I was there. I wanted to be there. So, but sometimes people get out of hand, and they, when, you know, Jesus gave the example that he that is chief in the kingdom of God is a chief servant. Now, Lucifer didn't think like that. His heart was different. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 14 again. He said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart." He said this in his heart. This was not just a thought of the mind, a whim. This was something that he had committed himself to. He said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." Now, wait a minute. You got people already in place that have been there. God sanctioned them to do what they're doing. And you're going to usurp their authority? That's what he's saying. It's not just talking about the stars you see. Those are actually realms. He's going to usurp himself over others that were there before him that are more qualified than him. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation." See, that tells you right there that was others, not just stars and clouds. These were realms that he was going to usurp power over. "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They shall see thee. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that obeyed not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast down to the grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, they go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain your people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned." See, Lucifer turned from his purpose. He betrayed God. He betrayed himself. He betrayed those that he was sent to bless. And he betrayed his own anointing. Because the anointing is always given to do good, not evil. But he used his wisdom, his intellect to do mischief, to serve himself, to usurp authority over others, to make people inferior to him. So, why ever put organize a ministry according to those principles, to where you usurp authority over others, make others look bad to make yourself look good, to do things in reverse against God? And people who love the ways of the world, they become the enemy of God. And every enemy of God is against Jesus Christ. That's the focus of the world's anger. See, the world system hates Jesus Christ. But those that love God adore Jesus Christ. They don't just adore his person, they adore his principles. They adore his love. They adore his people. See, remember at the end of Revelation, Jesus said, "And the church say, come. And all that will, come. God wants you to come. And the people that love God wants you to come. They're willing to forgive your sin. They just want you to come." They know you did them wrong, admit them evil, but they want you to come. They want to love you anyway. They care about you now in real time. And they care about what happened to you. See, everybody that love God, they love everybody. But people who love this world have a problem with the love of God. So in order to, they'll rather be angry with you because they don't want to do what's right. And they don't fear God. And they don't want to be subject to him. So they'll just rather be bitter against Jesus Christ and his people. That's why I was saying in the earlier broadcast, the recent website broadcast, when people love the world, they do indeed become the enemy. But it starts as a seed. They may love you. They may care for you. But they really wish you would love the world like them. And people seek out preachers that preach what they want to hear. Because when they're introduced to the real love of God, they have a problem with it. Because of their love for this rotten world. They'll rather live by pride and luxury. See, to me, you know, luxury, Jeremiah said one time, this is not a time for riches. All right. At the time he said that, Israel was going into captivity. This isn't a time to be making lavish yourself with luxuries. This is a time to to humble yourself before the Lord and do what he say do. Well, Jesus is about to come back. There are things that I ask the Lord to do for me. I want all my bills paid. I want to leave in style. I want to have all my bills paid. And I work as under God. And there's a car I desire. Because the Lord told me, he said, I want to bless you. He said, ask me for something. So I did. Now, this is something that I wanted. But the main thing, I want to do all of his work first. Everything that I desire, I'm going to use it. I don't need any trophies. So when I get my Mustang, I'm going to drive it. Or it might be a Charger. I'm going to get one of those too. I've narrowed it down. When I get my new car, I'm going to drive it. I'm going to drive it to work. I'm going to drive it where I go. that's how I do. I don't need a garage trophy. They finally made a car I like. So that's what I'm going to do when it's time for me to buy it. I'm not going to buy it out of season. It's all right to have what you desire. And, it's like Pastor McCann said, God doesn't put a cap on what it is you want. But when I think about riches and what I could do, how I could serve God if I had more, my heart is there first. You know, that's just the way it's supposed to be. That's what the love of God says do. If I can bless somebody, bless them. And in ministry, you can't do everything that needs to be done. But at least you can do what God give you to do. And then it's healthy for the world and all people to see God reward you for your labor. I didn't know how important that was to recently, a few years ago. You know, I'm happy. I'm blessed. God has blessed me, and I don't lack anything. He's taking care of me. But the thing is, the things you want from your heart, God will be glad to bless you with that. He's rich. But as the clock ticks down, I want to make sure I do all that I can do. I would rather do his work now while I can. See, you can't take a car to heaven, but you can take souls. And souls are more important. Now let's look at Lucifer again. See, you know, if you want to defeat your enemy, you need to know how he thinks. If you know how he thinks, you know where he's going. If you know where he's going, you can stay a step ahead of him. And you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Now, in your study time, study Ezekiel chapter 28. The first 10 verses of chapter 28 is referring to the human king. Verse 1 says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man. See that word again. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying. Now, he wasn't looking for this. The Lord, out of the blue, the Lord started talking to Ezekiel. That's what I'm talking about. When you're anointed, the Lord will start a conversation with you. Now, that's going to be key for what he wants you to do. Now, let's look at what he had him to write. Verse 2 says, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Seas are people. Yet thou art a man and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches, and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. See, his heart, he got in pride because of something. And we're going to go somewhere with that as we continue. Remember, this is the human king. Thy heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, and terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit, and thou shalt die the deaths of them that are slain in the midst of the seas. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. Thou shalt die the deaths of the uncircumcised by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Now let's examine this prince of Tyrus. This is actually the human king of Tyrus. But the word of God calls him a prince. And when people get in pride, they get in pride because of something. The way they see themselves, they may be beautiful, they may be wise. And God said he was wiser than Daniel. Now Ezekiel lived in the time when Daniel was reigning in Babylon as the second in command. King Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel his president. Daniel was the president of Babylon. He was also the promoted president of Persia. God promoted that man over the course of several different kings. They all made him second in command. There was nobody wiser. And the king of Tyrus was wiser than him. Now, but he got in pride. And he was also a creation of God. Knowledge, all knowledge comes from God to man. All of it. Everything good comes from God. And see, God even created the king of Tyrus to be a blessing to people, but his heart was just like Lucifer's. When your path is changed, that's who you serve. If you love God, you will serve him. And you want to by your will. And if you love the attention that goes to God, you're just like Satan, and he's the father of lies. So he becomes your master because you love his world. Tyrus may not have even believed in the devil. He said he's God. He wasn't thinking about Satan, but he served him. He was his prince. He was his puppet. And the devil was his king. And he didn't know it. And when Nebuchadnezzar come, are you going to say to the man to take you captive and kill you that you're God? No. And when it happened, he died. And he wasn't God. Like his pride suggested. Like the devil suggested. Because if the devil don't care if you don't believe in him or not, as long as you do what he does, he's your master. If you start lying, he becomes your master. If you walk out of the kingdom of God, he becomes your master. If it's more important to you to look good before man than to tell the truth before God, he becomes your master. he will tell you. He'll have you doing what he wants you to do. And when people get tangled up in sin, strongholds exist in their life. They can't do their own will. They are trapped in wickedness. That's why they need anointed people to break the yokes that's holding them in the world. When people get on drugs, they can't get off drugs. They need somebody with the anointing to pray over them and break that and preach to them, teach them the word, break the yokes of darkness. And then they got to believe on Jesus to stay out of it. See, everybody does it the same way. We come out of the world through Jesus Christ, and we stay out of the world living according to the love of God. We have power over sin, but we can't go and sin willfully and stay and remain in power over sin. Why? Now you got power over every aspect of the world. You have power, you have authority over, God has given you authority over every aspect of the world, down the scorpions. The world system, we have total authority over the world system, and all the power of the enemy, we have authority over. All we have to do is shut it down. But we can't partake of the world system and operate in the authority of God. We have to be clean. We have to love God's ways. In James it said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. It said, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if you're not submitted to God and you resist the devil, he's not going to flee. Now, if you're still in a backslidden condition and you resist the devil and he flee, he's playing games with you. He'll act like he ran, but he's still there. He won't manifest himself as if he fled, but he's still around. Because he's got stock in you, if you love the world somewhere. The only way to defeat him is to remain in the will of God, submitted to God, taking God at his word. That's what the enemy is afraid of, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ overcame him. Now let's look at verse 11. We're almost out of time, so we'll pick it up here next time. Verse 11 says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, see, the word of the Lord came back again to Ezekiel. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He's just like the human king. He's wiser than Daniel, and he's beautiful. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So he was created. And all these precious stones is what he's made out of. Sometimes Daniel and others saw angels that look like a beryl stone. Well, Lucifer says every precious stone was your covering. And then it listed them. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and then gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub, the anointed cherub that covereth. So he was a cherub. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. This joker was something to see. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. He was created. He was not born. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy thee, O covering cherub. From the midst of the stones of fire, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. He defiled his sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Never shalt thou walk the ground again. You'll be in that pit. Now, this is your enemy, and this is what following him, you'll have the same result he had. Now, we're out of time again. I love the word of God, but we're going to pick it up here again, and if the Lord will, we're going to revisit this. But in your study time, study the whole chapter. Till next time, remember, God loves you. I love you, and Jesus is our Lord.